Hey, back here on Downtown, time for some basketball talk as we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. How are you today, John?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. I would like a little sun. We haven't seen it in a while. Are you getting much your way?
Oh, yeah, we're getting the sun, but it's tripping off some thunderstorms. Ooh. So it's, you know, back and forth.
All right. Well, we're not getting any warm temperatures. We're not getting any sun. It feels a little like late September, early October here. It's great.
Mother Nature is depressed and already moving on to the beginning of next Celtic season.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Absolutely. Well, some off-season moves beginning to happen, and a pretty good one out of the box, hiring veteran coach Sam Cassell to be an assistant. That's a good start to the off-season.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Celtics are going to have to remake that coaching staff no matter what. So that's a really good start. You know, they're going to have to bring in probably three or four more guys by the time it's all said and done. But Sam Cassell gives a lot of what I've been looking for in an assistant coach, a lot of NBA experience on both sides of the ball. Obviously, 15 years as a player. This will be his 15th year as an assistant. So he's seen a lot from both sides. He was a player that played with some attitude. So this Celtics team could use some voice somewhere here that can maybe pull out some of that attitude that they were missing. I mean, let's be real here. This is a team of a bunch of nice, sweet guys. No one would have any issue of any of these guys dating their daughter, but you want some of these guys to be a little bit more of an edge so they can go out there and maybe take control and win some of those games that they lost. So I think having Sam Cassell around could be part of the puzzle of kind of unlocking that in some of these guys. He gives Joe Mazzulla an experienced ear, an experienced voice, I should say, for him to listen to. So I think all around, it's a good hire.
Now, you put any stock in the rumors about another veteran assistant, Charles Lee, maybe making his way to Boston?
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one there. I have not heard anything about that at this point.
All right. Well, I wonder with Cassell, obviously he's got a long career as an assistant. He's interviewed for some head jobs. Is a guy like that going to be content looking at somebody in Joe Mazzulla with very little experience who didn't play in the league and be the number two guy to him? Will that create any kind of tension?
Well, I mean, I think when you take the job, you understand what you're getting into, right? Like, and I think for Cassell, this could be one of those things where he gets to make a name for himself on his own, right? Like, he can come in and say, hey, I helped this head coach of the Celtics win. I helped this guy kind of, figure out his way. You know, like, I was one of the guys that kind of imparted the knowledge on him. And look at the impact I had. So if I could do this with a head coach, think of what I could do with some of these players. I think it's one thing to say that you hired the guy, and it's another thing to say he was already on the staff and was passed over by Joe Mazzulla. Mm. So I think knowing what that he's coming into this to be more mentor and understanding that If a head coaching job comes up and he wants to go take it, then obviously go take it. But I think he understands what his role is going to be. And I guess you can say if things go south with Mazzulla this year, there's one more coaching change in Brad Stevens. And if it doesn't work out with Mazzulla and you bring in Sam Cassell and he ends up being a guy that has the respect of the team, then maybe that's a route that they go. But I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think that they're just bringing him in to more support Mazzulla than anything.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. All right, John, we need your mathematical skills, your wizardry, your understanding of how all the finances work in the NBA as we deal with this new collective bargaining agreement. Can you start by explaining, and you wrote about it very well at Boston Sports Journal, what the second apron means?
Yeah, think of it as just a like a threshold, right? They like to use the term apron in the NBA. I don't know why. But there's the luxury tax. There's the second apron is essentially a sort of a hard cap almost, because once you hit it, yeah, you can spend over it, but the taxes are going to be extraordinarily punitive. And if you're over that line, you can't do much of anything as far as building a team. And the point of that is, it's kind of the Golden State rule, where Golden State has gigantic payroll, but they've been able to add some guys to support their aging core via mid-level exception, via trade. And they've been able to get creative with some of the tools that were available to extend this run for a long time. So Boston's getting caught up in this, and other teams are going to be caught up in it as well. The mid-level exception goes away once you're past that threshold, that second. I've been calling it the super tax. Once you're at that line, you can't make a lot of different trades. The only trade you can basically make is a one for one, an even up trade. You can't take back any money. So think about the Malcolm Brogdon deal, where they sent out four or five guys for one guy. That can't happen.
Right, and no sign and trade moves either, right?
You can't do a sign and trade either way, you know, because you can't bring in a sign and trade guy because you'd be hard capped well below that, so that wouldn't be allowed. You can't sign and trade a guy out anymore, so they can't say, for example, Grant Williams, or let's just say Jaylen Brown. If he wanted to sign and trade to a team that was over the cap, they couldn't do that if he, for example, declined his extension, which I don't think will happen. So it's very punitive. You're almost making a trade is almost impossible. You can't use any of your exceptions. Signing a guy, you can only sign minimum guys. You also can't sign a buyout guy. You can't bring in a buyout guy anymore. So that's out for the super tax teams. So it's basically, if you're over the line, what you need to know is you can almost do nothing to add a player to the team.
John Corrales. All right, John, NBA Finals all tied up at one apiece. Do the Heat have the Nuggets right where they want them now?
Yeah, man. I keep saying this is where the wheels fall off, but they find a way, Miami. Look, Milwaukee, I thought was the better team. Boston, I thought was the better team. Denver, I think, is the better team. Miami has not cared about any of that stuff all along. So my eyes, my basketball expertise tell me that Denver has everything it needs to go into Miami and win at least one, probably two, and come back and finish it off at home. But I thought Boston was going to do that. I didn't think Milwaukee was going to get bounced in the first round. So all I can say about Miami is I almost hope Miami wins, because what happens when a team wins the title? Teams start to say, okay, how do we mimic that? Well, it's hard work and being together and on the same page. So if Miami wins the title and Boston says, how can we mimic that? Then that's all Boston needs to go win a title, is to get the same group of guys to work harder and be on the same page and all buy in. So that it's an amazing story. I'm completely in awe of what Miami is doing.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. We're always in awe of what you do, John. Thanks as always.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.